An apostle is a messenger sent from God. The apostles were granted power and authority to establish the New Testament church. There are no apostles living today, but just as the early church dedicated themselves to the apostles' teachings, so we dedicate ourselves to their teachings, which have been recorded in the New Testament. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Now it's a really, really, really big day. This is Wretched Radio. It's a big day at Fortis Institute. Libby Glosson joins us. Her new podcast, The Better Way. Get it. FortisPlus.org or wherever you do your podcasting business. Second reason it's a big day is we love hearing from VU. You send stuff to idea@wretched.org. You text away to 877-282-2337. But it's also a big day here at Wretched Radio because we have a clarification. That's right. A request for a clarification. Normally, we request questions, comments, conundrums, snarks. But now we can add another clarification. Actually, Pastor Mike at Alpharetta Bible Church, when he's teaching on Sunday morning in Bible study, which has been awesome. The book of Ephesians, so rich. It's just so dense. When he's done teaching, he says, questions, comments, cries of outrage. Well, we've got questions, comments, conundrums, snarks, and clarifications. You say, what does that look like? I say, well, it looks like this email sent in from Cody. Todd, I've heard you say that violent rape deserves the death penalty. Does this make the death penalty a recommendation based on our personal disgust and our interpretation of taking the life of an image bearer? Well, we can certainly make mistakes in rendering verdicts on any subject, but that doesn't mean that we don't participate in the contemplation of the subject. Yeah, we can misuse, we can bring our emotions to our consideration, and that's a bad thing. But in this context, Cody, when you say disgust, our personal disgust on a subject, don't overlook that. Your feelings can be wrong, but not necessarily. We should be disgusted. I mean, like, what? A man did that to a woman? Are you kidding me? A man did that to a child? That's disgusting. And that would be right. And I think even nature would testify to that. But even more so for the Christian who is informed by the Bible with an understanding of that's an image bearer of God. You don't treat an image bearer that way. So you're right, Cody. We can make bad judgments because of emotions. But I don't want to say that we set our emotions aside completely. Because I think sometimes disgust is exactly right. And violent rape, is there any other kind? Do we need the word violent? And these creeps that they put a pill into their drink to knock women out. Oh, what do they call that, Jimmy?
Roofie.
Yeah. Whatever. They roofie somebody. I'm sorry. You drugged a woman so that you could violate her. That's disgusting. And we shouldn't lose. Now, that means that we have a right response to something that is genuinely evil. Now, we got to watch our hearts and our attitude toward that individual. But even then, we have to find a balance, don't we? When somebody does something so downright disgusting, yes, we are still called to love those people, but how that expresses itself is a little bit more complicated than just overlooking their atrocious behavior. Well, we've got to invoke some other emotions, like a sense of rightness and a sense of justice. And when somebody does something that horrific, I do believe that the death penalty can be expanded beyond just murder. Genesis 9, I think Romans 13, certainly the Mosaic Covenant gives us permission to take the life that, by the way, isn't murder, that's killing. That's a justifiable killing because somebody is a guilty murderer. The Bible gives us permission to invoke the death penalty or to encourage our government to utilize the death penalty. But I do believe that because the Mosaic Covenant can still be used, we don't unhitch our Old Testament for principles, we see other applications of the death penalty, don't we? And we can, from the Old Testament, glean principles that God would still affirm today. And I think one of the principles that we see for the various reasons for the death penalty in the Old Testament, rape. That's an atrocious, violent, it is murder of the heart. I'm willing to impose my will on another for my personal pleasure. Ooh, that has to be akin to murder. Nevertheless, I think we take the principles from the Mosaic Covenant. We do our best to apply them, but I do believe we have biblical permission to expand our desire for the death penalty beyond capital punishment for murder. Disagree? Clarification? Cries of outrage? idea@wretched.org.
All right, this is a text from Anonymous. Todd, should Christians put any stock in synchronicity or coincidence?
No. Did I jump in too soon?
Next question.
Well, coincidence and synchronicity are different things. Synchronicity is when something, there's not a connection to it, but it seems like, oh, wow, I can't believe that I saw that billboard when I was thinking about this. Whoa, synchronicity, dude. Now, synchronicity actually gets far more complex because different philosophers have injected themselves into the concept, like Carl Jung, making it so like, okay, maybe Jordan Peterson can get that, but most of us cannot. That's when we see something, you're in your car and you're singing along to Elvis. And out of the blue, you're located in Oregon and you're singing Elvis, and there a billboard pops up, Graceland Museum now open. Whoa, synchronicity, man. I say no, providence, dude. That's just providence. That's God orchestrating, designing everything. There's no such thing as synchronicity. There's no weird divine that or universal or some sort of natural communication that's happening out there synchronistically. And there's no coincidence. Coincidence indicates that God isn't sovereign, and he is. So there's nothing that's coincidence. Everything is ordered by him, and we shouldn't be looking for special messages, and we shouldn't be looking for life direction because of what we would call a coincidence. There are none. And this is one of the best exercises a Christian can do, especially when they're not experiencing hardship. Recognize everything is ordained by God. Everything. The billboard, the Elvis song you were singing, all of it ordained by God. And we don't want to go looking for special divine communication or messages or think that, oh, that brings some clarification, man. Look at how nature works. Nature has no power in and of itself if it is not ordained by God himself. So out the door with synchronicity, whether it's the concept, whether it's Carl Jung or Sting, and out the door with coincidence. We use the word providence, and providence is extraordinary, which is, I do believe, a sermon from Phil Johnson, who right now is in the throes of his chemo. He's lost his hair. Still got his goatee. I don't know how that works, but the chemo, so he like lost it like bang fast. It just like came out in fistfuls. And then they shaved his head. I hate to say this, but I think not every man can pull off bald. Phil Johnson, I think, can pull off bald, which is really kind of doubly annoying because his hair, what is Phil, 72 years old? He got a thick head of dark hair that he doesn't dye. And then they shave it off and it's like, yeah, that works, Phil. Somehow that works. Be praying for our brother, Phil Johnson, because he's in it right now. 877-282-2337.
We should shave our heads in solidarity with him.
No, we shouldn't. Nope. I'll pray for him. You know, I wouldn't argue with somebody, you know, parents that do it. I get that's sweet, but I'm not Phil's daddy. So there. I love you, Phil. Not shaving my hair, buddy.
All right.
I wonder what his is going to grow back like. That should be some sort of a betting. If there were ever a justifiable betting pool, What's Phil's hair going to look like when it grows back? 877-282-2337 to place your bets.
From Kristen, I'm assuming you have unsaved family members that you've shared the gospel with. How often do you continue to plead with them with the gospel?
Yeah, you know what? I actually put that out on the table. I actually ask them because it's always tricky, isn't it? For all the obvious reasons. And so I like to say, hey, you know, I've brought this up like two or three times. Will you let me know when this becomes agitating? Because I don't want to agitate you. I just wanted to share some good news. And if it bugs you, I care about you so much. I don't want you going to hell. I want you to experience good things. I want you to attend the banquet of the King. So let me know if it's something where you're like, I'm done with that. And then I honor that. I respect that. Okay. Then I'll zip it. Can I bring it up in maybe a year, 2 years, something? Or let me know if you're ever interested. So I think by putting it out on the table, it's helpful. I think if you start to sense, you got to be careful because it might be that you're actually having an effect on them and they're responding kind of severely. Simultaneously, it could be they're just responding severely and you're just agitating them. Use wisdom, and the best way to make sure that you're not crossing the line, communication. This is Wretched Radio.
Life doesn't come with calm storms. Sooner or later, the storm hits, and the world says the answer is boundaries. Build fences, keep people out, protect yourself, but the Bible never tells you to construct walls. Instead, it teaches you to anchor yourself to truth, to wisdom, to the unshakable foundation of God's Word. That's where the Better Way with Libby Glossin comes in. Intelligent talk radio for women. Like no other podcast out there. Always thoughtful and no self-help gimmicks, no fluffy cliches. Just practical biblical wisdom that cuts through the noise and makes a real impact in your life. If you're tired of the feel-good messages that don't hold up when the storm comes, it's time for something different. It's time for the Better Way with Libby Glossin. Real truth, real wisdom like no other. Because in a world full of compromise, there is indeed a better way.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number six for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Marriage, parenting, mental health, cultural engagement. The challenges facing today's Christians aren't getting any simpler. But at Fortis Institute, we believe God's Word provides the clarity you need. That's why we brought together some of Christianity's most trusted voices under one roof. If you want practical marriage wisdom, Brad Bickney's Thrive podcast delivers biblical solutions that work. If you're struggling with anxiety or depression, Greg Gifford's Transformed brings biblical counseling straight to your ears. And if you're looking for authentic manhood, Adam Tyson's Way of Manhood cuts through the cultural noise. Plus, get daily insights from our team of fellows, including exclusive Gary Varvel cartoons that'll make your day. This isn't just another ministry. It's your daily source for biblical strength and wisdom. And if you want to stay informed about private events and exclusive content, become a Fortis Insider today, all at fortisinstitute.org. Fortis Institute, because standing firm doesn't mean standing alone.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called God and Savior. If Jesus were only human, his death could not have paid our debt. But Jesus is both man and God, able to represent us, yet able to bear the wrath of the Father. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
On second thought, maybe we do have a fair amount of outrage. It's merely misplaced. This is Wretched Radio. Plenty of things to be agitated about these days. Look at your newsfeed. There's just tons of it. And maybe you get exercised. Ah, they're doing this to our country. Ah, and whilst I get that, I wonder if that outrage might be better aimed at things that we just seem to not think are a big deal these days. Abortion, there's one right there. Rape, there's another one. Here's one for you. I heard another one of these. Now I've heard two of these stories from dudes in Atlanta that were financial investors, and people gave them basically their retirement and they absconded with it. They used it for their multi-level, whatever it is, their Ponzi scheme that they were doing. And you ruined people's lives and you knew you were doing it? You're a medical doctor who swore to first do no harm, and you use your intellect and your skills to mutilate children? That's the stuff that I think we should be expressing genuine outrage. And I wonder if it's because the left has been so successful in just browbeating us. Hey, you can't be upset about anyone for anything. You can't do that. You got to let people do their own thing. No, there's evil in the world. And if I see it, I'm going to be outraged because that's the right response. And I wonder if maybe you can do your self-examination. I'll do mine. We've still got outrage as a group, but it's maybe aimed at things that are just small. They're just not big deals in the scheme of eternity. And on the hierarchy of evil, there is a hierarchy of evil. And when people cross that line into that territory, I'm sorry, to not be disgusted and outraged, I think that's actually wrong. But you can disagree, and then you can send those thoughts to idea@wretched.org.
Hey, Todd. You just don't like it when I say that, dude.
Well, I know what's coming.
No, you don't.
All righty, then.
I'm going another direction.
Okay.
You realize it's a new month.
Oh, look at you.
We got to have our verse of the month.
Yeah. And why exactly are you bringing this up?
Because it's a new month.
No.
Because you reminded me.
Because I was reminded in an email. Hey, where's the Bible verse of the month? All right, fair enough, Jimmy. What is the new... Last January, we said, hey, if we just memorize a Bible verse a month... Mm-hmm. We're going to have 12 bullets in our arsenal. I'll work on that illustration. We'll just have things that you can bring to a situation. So what is the Bible verse for the month of February, Jimmy?
Psalm 55:22.
Oh, love that one. Go ahead, just for those people who don't have it memorized already.
Cast your burden upon the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken.
He will sustain you. It's also 1 Peter, cast all of your cares on God because he cares about you. All right, so this is cast all of your cares upon God. He will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken.
Yeah.
Memorize that. That's an easy one. Good job picking an easy one. Because there are some that get a little more challenging than others. Paul can be a little bit challenging with all of his parenthetical remarks. That's an easy one to remember. And you can remember that when you feel like I'm being shaken. No. The Lord won't allow that. He will see you through this. His hands are strong. Rest in them. And you will do that when you memorize Bible verses and then you apply them in the moment. Psalm 55, verse 20. What?
22.
20. Well, I memorized the verse, just not the address, which is another component, Rexella. You got to memorize the Bible address.
Yep.
And we all know, just so you know, Pastor, when you say something like, it's like Paul said, you can't remember which epistle, can you? We know that the address would be Psalm 20, 55.
Yeah, 55, 22.
Exactly. What is it?
Psalm 55:22.
Okay. There you go. Are you sure?
That's what
you
said. I'm positive.
All right. All right. Ball still in your court, Jimmy.
Okay, this is from Jeff. He emailed in. Todd, I was wondering what the biblical response to burnout would be. The world uses that term, but how is it explained in Scripture? I'm 62, eager to retire, but a trusted friend who understands finances way better than me explained that my wife and I would be better off financially if I would work until I'm 67. Decided to take his counsel because I think it's wise, but I'm simply weary and ready to stop working.
Sure. There's a lot going on there, isn't there? And I think the umbrella that I'd put it all under is wisdom. This fellow even used that term. It's wisdom to keep on working for the sake of financial stability in your golden years. So I wouldn't argue with that, but wisdom should be applied to every single situation. What do you do with burnout? He said he's 62 years old, mm-hmm. and he's just fried. I don't know that this will be like, whoa, helpful. But I know a lot of guys who are 62, and that work has become kind of like, this is what I think we're called to when that begins to happen. When that age comes, when you... Perhaps your energy begins to it's depleted more and more every single year. Obviously, wisdom can be invoked. And I think that you don't have to be working full-time until the day you die. It doesn't mean that you aren't always laboring for the Lord, but I'm talking about gainful employment. You don't have to put in 40, 60 hours until your very last breath. But we are called to be workers, and we are called, I think, to endurance. And I think that's kind of that's the energy pill that might be helpful for you. This is where God has you, and he wants you to press through this. That's the new assignment for you. The new assignment isn't, hey, got a cool new job. Hey, we just got transferred. Cool, got a bonus, got a raise. Those things are probably gone. Hey, I get to work on a new fill in the blank. Probably gone. So what's left for you? Hey, God has an assignment for me. And if his assignment is getting out of bed every morning when I don't feel like it, I am going to bite into that. I'm going to do that because this is where he has me. This is where he wants me. And I believe, having received wise biblical counsel, that this is what is best for my wife. I'm going to work. And you do it for a different reason than perhaps you've done in the past. And you find your energy, not because of the excitement of doing the task or getting a new office, but because you know that God has you on assignment. I might also suggest this on a practical level. Burned out, okay, ask yourself, what's maybe out of balance? Why are you so fried? Everybody's different, so you can't say, 62, you shouldn't be burned out on it. You can't do that, but it is a little young. People didn't used to quit at 62. That's an American construct. Don't see that in the Bible. So. What's maybe out of balance that needs to be corrected? Are you never taking a vacation? Time off? Are you just always thinking about work? Just always, always, always thinking about work? Then reorder things so that maybe you'll just have a little bit more balance in your life. And if I could segue to pastors, was reading an article, sorry, I can't cite who it was, but it was about pastors that struggle to say, I'm exhausted. You shouldn't, Pastor, because your exhaustion doesn't indicate a lack of dedication. In fact, it probably indicates you're very dedicated. What it indicates is that you're finite and that you can only do so much for so long. And there's no shame in admitting, I am really tired. Now, personally, I don't think sabbatical is the answer for that exhaustion. I think it's getting your life ordered. Don't want to pick a fight over this because maybe you're a pastor who does take a sabbatical. But wow, unless I guess you're like a Ivy League university professor, the only other people that I know of that take sabbaticals just because they're so tired are pastors. And I would just personally have a hard time looking out over the flock and saying, so I'm going to be gone for the next 3 months taking a sabbatical when nobody else gets to do such a thing. I think the need for a sabbatical, unless it's a writing assignment or it's more ministry aimed in a different direction, I think a sabbatical indicates something's out of whack. And that brings us back to our fellow who's 62. maybe something's just out of whack. Get that adjusted. And then see your assignment as God ordained. This is what colors everything. You're 22 and you're thrilled about life. Well, I'm not going to try to throw a bucket of water on your enthusiasm for work. It's exciting and it's new and it's fun. Cool. Enjoy that. But that's not what ultimately makes work something that has meaning and significance. What does? Because what you'll learn from Ecclesiastes is work doesn't like forever fulfill. So then what makes our work fulfilling? And the answer is God. The answer is doing it under the Lord. The answer is I'm on assignment. He's given me this task. I'm going to do it with all my might until he takes me home or he tells me through his people or his word, I'm on to a different assignment. That is what colors life. Whether you are old or young. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.